First part of the reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians 13, love. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We then move to John 15:12-13. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Then moving to 1 John 4:9-10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Thank you very much, Emma. We've all heard, I'm sure, at least once, although I suspect more than that, the famous West End song, Love Changes Everything, sung by Michael Ball. Better that he do it than I do it, but I'm sure we've all heard it. Or for the film fans among us, on this the day that the Oscars are given out, I believe, and for those of us of a certain age that I will not define, the other song that perhaps comes to mind is Huey Lewis and the News, That's the Power of Love, that was the title track song to the Back to the Future films. So perhaps maybe these are the things that, as I say, if you're of a certain age, maybe come to mind. And both of these songs, though they are different, they do remind us of the power of love. Whether it comes from mothers or mother figures in our lives or from others that we love and are important to us. And it's in this that Paul is, or on this I should say, that Paul is reflecting from 1 Corinthians 13 and other Bible passages that have been read to us already by Emma. But particularly in 1 Corinthians 13, traditionally often read out at weddings, Paul gets down to the nitty-gritty of what love can be like at its best. And when it is empowered and sustained by the greatest love of all, and that is the love of God. And therefore, there are four things I'd like us to reflect on briefly this morning as we consider the thought on the screen before us, that love does change everything. Paul begins by telling us about this whole business of learning to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31 and the other Bible passages you see in front of us. Paul begins by saying something in the very last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 12, which perhaps takes us by surprise as he begins his teaching on the subject of love, because he begins with this rather interesting phrase. He says, and now, following on from what he's just been saying, and now I will show you the most excellent way. Paul is recognizing something that I think we all need to recognize, and it is this, that despite our desire for love and our capacity to love, nevertheless, we do need to be shown and learn how to love. And Paul then goes on to illustrate this truth by giving us a series of examples taken from everyday life and experience with which we are all, I have no doubt, well and familiar with. And he does this in two ways. Firstly, he gives to us examples of what love should never be. And then he goes on to proceed to give us examples of what love should be. So what should love never be? Well, Paul tells us love should never be envious, boastful, or proud. It should never seek to dishonor anyone. Nor should it be self-seeking or easily angered, or that old perennial favorite, keeping a record of wrongs. And it should never delight in evil either. These, says Paul, are not the ways of love. In fact, Paul says in verse 11, these are the ways of childhood, when love has yet to grow up and to mature. For when it does, Paul tells us, we will then begin to see love in all its fullness and, in fact, all of its glory. For what will it be? Well, he tells us it will be patient, it will be kind, it will rejoice in the truth, it will always protect, it will always trust, it will always hope and persevere. These, then, says Paul, are the ways in which love should express itself positively. This, says Paul, is the most excellent way, the excellent way of love. But Paul is, if nothing, honest and realistic, because he knows fine well what human life and relationships can be like, as we all do. And he then goes on to reflect, secondly, on the obstacles to love. In verses 4 to 6 in chapter 13, Paul is honest, he is realistic, and he acknowledges something that we all need to acknowledge, that at times, love is quite frankly hard work. It is not something that we naturally feel, it is a choice and a decision that has to be made. It doesn't have anything to do at times with how we feel. We need to push beyond and through our feelings for love to grow and to mature. We need, says Paul, to acknowledge that with God's help we can overcome the obstacles that our fallen and selfish nature are constantly seeking to put in the way, that would seek to prevent love and would seek to trip us up and to bring us down in our relationships. The temptation to be envious and boastful, to be proud, to dishonor others by our behavior, to be self-seeking, to be easily angered when things don't go our way, and to keep a score sheet of the things that we feel have been done against us by people. And taking delight when evil and bad things come to people because we feel that it is right that they have it and they deserve it. These things, says Paul, are against the way of love. These are the obstacles, he says, that our fallen nature puts in the way constantly, unless we are on our guard, that seeks to prevent us from loving in the way that we were meant to and created by God to do so. But Paul also then talks about the victory of love as he goes further into the 13th chapter. And also we see from John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In these verses, Paul shows us the victory that we can have, the victory of love over the downward pull of our fallen and sinful nature. Love that always will seek to protect, always will seek the truth, always trusts, always hopes, always indeed truly perseveres. This, says Paul, is love that never fails, like God's love also that never fails. This is the kind of love to which we are called. But of course, that raises the deep and the challenging question. How can this be? For our love is not always like that, even when we are at our best. And we all, I'm sure, acknowledge that. Well, in his letter, the Apostle John tells us how the love of God that God has given us and wants us to show and to share can indeed become part of our experience. He tells us how we are able to love in the way that God actually has created us to love. For he tells us that the greatest love of all that transcends all human love, the highest of all human love, is the love of God itself. The love that first loved us, even when we did not love God. That love that caused God to give his Son to take away our sin that was caused by our rebellion and sin against God and his loving purpose for us. It is this, John tells us, by responding to that love and receiving the forgiveness that God offers to us afresh, even on this Mother's Day in Christ. By receiving these things, John tells us, we not only are in that place where we're able to begin to experience a love, the like of which we have never known before, but he says we are also able to demonstrate and to show that love to other people in a way that we have never known before. As we both receive and respond to and share as a result of that, the supernatural love of God shown towards us in Christ. But yet, also, finally, we do have an example to follow. Because we do need examples to follow. And we're given the greatest example of all, the example of love. And John lays this out for us in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, and then John 15, verses 12 and 13. It is in these verses we are given the greatest example of love, which we are all called to follow. And that, of course, is the love that Jesus himself shows. It's in these verses John reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus paid once and for all for your sin and for mine, the whole of mankind. Those things that separated us from God's love, that by responding to that sacrifice offered to us in love, we might receive forgiveness and experience the power of God's transforming work and God's transforming love, not just in our relationship with God, but also through that into our relationships with one another as well. It is in these verses, John tells us, what should inspire and motivate us to follow the example of Jesus' love. And it is simply this, because we have received his love. Because we are commanded to love one another. We are to love not in order to earn God's love, but rather in the joyful realization that unworthy though we are, we have received God's love in his grace, forgiveness, and the birth of new life that he has given to us. And because of that, we want to share that love with others that we meet and those with whom we are in relationship. We do this also to show our love for the Lord by obeying his commands as well. But John has one final thing for us to reflect on and to consider. And it is this, John chapter 15, verse 13. He says that we are to lay down our lives for others. That's what Jesus did. And he calls us as we receive his love and respond to that love, to share that love in that manner with others around us as well. Not, of course, to bring them to salvation, for only Christ can do that. No, it is rather by our words, by our actions, that we point to that new life that God in Christ offers to all. Offers to all afresh on this Mother's Day morning, who come before him in humble repentance and to reach out in faith to receive that love that is beyond all love. That is what is on offer afresh to us all this morning. Regardless of what relationships we may have had, may be in, may are, and perhaps maybe are not in. The love that is constant. The love that is beyond all human loves excelling. The love of God. The love that Paul tells us at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. It is a love that is eternal. End of the passage, Paul says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The love of God shown to us in Christ, the love of God that is shared afresh amongst us this morning, and the love of God that we are now given that fresh opportunity to respond to afresh, or perhaps maybe even for the first time. God is waiting with arms outstretched, as we sang in our opening song this morning, to kiss a guilty world in love? Will you receive his breath? Will you receive his embrace? Will you respond to his love? The decision is yours. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have given to us the gift of love, and we recognize that all love comes from you. We thank you for the love that we have, Lord, in human relationships, often imperfect, Lord, and difficult though they may be. Nevertheless, we thank you for them. And we ask that, Lord, you would help us to receive your love. And, Lord, having responded to it, to share it with others to whom you would call us and lead us, even this morning. And we pray, Lord, perhaps for those that have yet to respond to your love, that, Lord, we pray on this Mothering Sunday, that, Lord, you would help us, O Lord, we pray, to be willing and humble to do that. And, Lord, to know your love transforming our lives for now and for all eternity. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.